Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to look at several different verses tonight, different places, but this is the foundation passage, fourth commandment. So I'm going to read that again tonight. Don't think you can ever read it too much. So just remind us of what we're talking about here tonight. Exodus chapter 20, in verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And I've just given this message tonight the same title as I did this morning, A Different Kind of Day, Part 2. And may God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Some people, when it comes to this idea of the Sabbath, I guess the best way to say it is get a little crazy with it. Of course, we know that our Seventh-day Adventists, the Seventh-day Adventists, believe that the Sabbath is the seventh day. It is still binding, and that all Christians should rest and worship on that day. You should not do any activity whatsoever. I remember years ago in Coolidge, when the old gym was still standing, there was a man that was overseeing it, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And that meant me and my friends could not go over there on Saturday and play basketball because that was the Sabbath day. And some of them may or may not have snuck in there, did it anyway, but I'm not going to go any further than that. Some of them may have gotten in trouble when they did that, but God forgives. That's what I can say, okay? Mischievous boys that did things that they should not have done. But anyway, there are some that even say that salvation depends on keeping the Sabbath day. That if you don't keep the Sabbath day, you're not saved. There are some that would even say that it is not keeping the Sabbath is a mark of the beast. And that you should be worshiping and resting on Saturday instead of Sunday. So what does the Bible actually say about this from beginning to end? Let's try to cover this tonight. Maybe answer a few questions that you might have, and probably, as always, raise some questions in trying to do this tonight. So let me just give you several thoughts tonight, and hopefully this will help to answer some questions and just give us some confidence in what we do and what we believe. So first of all, and we talked about this morning, but first of all, as we see, the Sabbath was given to Israel, okay? Now, we've already looked at that. As I said this morning, it is interesting that Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we never hear this day discussed concerning those men, okay? It was never brought up. It was not until after the Exodus, until after God had rescued his people from Egypt, that this is mentioned. Again, it's not mentioned after God rested on the seventh day during creation. It's not mentioned again until Exodus chapter 16, again, which is after the Exodus. Now, as I mentioned this morning, it is true. We do see that It was mentioned, again, it's mentioned in Exodus 16, before the Ten Commandments were given, okay? But what we see, even then, it was for God's people. It was for the Israelites, okay? In fact, it over in Exodus chapter 31, in verse 16 and 17, God said this, "The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he abstained from work and rested." It tells us right there, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath. It is a sign between me and the Israelites forever. I do not find anywhere in the Bible where it is ever commanded of Gentiles. Now, obviously, if there was someone who wanted to be a Jewish proselyte and they came in and they adopted the Jewish lifestyle, then they would observe the Sabbath. But as far as the nations, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that they were commanded to do this. It was a sign between God and Israel. Now, what's interesting to me, this is pretty simple. Isn't it amazing how some people can just confuse what's so clearly laid out in Scripture? And, you know, they can just add to it and add burdens and all kinds of things to certain teachings. Because I don't know if they have an agenda. They're not interested in learning. I don't know what it is. But it's very clear to me from Scripture, this was given as a sign between the Lord and Israel. The second thing that I want to say about this is very important. We today are warned about judging people in regards to certain days. Okay? You and I, believers today, the church today, day and age which we live in, we are warned about judging people in regards to certain days. So what I've already told you about people judging us because we don't worship on the Sabbath and people saying it's the mark of the beast, this is exactly what they're doing. They're judging others. Even though in the Bible we have been specifically told not to do that, okay? Paul told the Colossians that the Sabbath was merely a shadow and not the substance. Colossians chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17. "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." And by the way, I'm not going to get into all this tonight, but if you read the Bible, there was more than one Sabbath. There were festival Sabbaths as well. But he said, in regards to no Sabbath, are you to let anyone judge you? They are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Similarly, in Romans, Paul writes that the Sabbath observance is a matter of conscience and not commandment. Listen to what he says in Romans 14:5. He said, "One man considers one day more sacred than the other, and another man considers every day alike." Then he says this, "Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." So if someone tells me, "I believe, I am just convinced we ought to gather on Saturday, that That should be the day that we rest. If that's where he wants to go, if he's convinced, God bless him. God bless him. I am not to judge. If he's convinced that's where he needs to be, have at it. But don't judge me, because I don't. All right? That's what Paul said. He said, let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. So these scriptures that I've just read to you, the one in Colossians and the one in Romans, make it clear that for the Christian, Sabbath keeping is a matter of spiritual freedom. It's not a command from God. It is a matter of spiritual freedom. It is not a command of God. It also makes it clear that Sabbath keeping is an issue on which God's words instruct us, don't judge others. Period. I mean, and Paul actually said it there, you know, don't let anybody judge you by what you eat or drink. Of course, you know that there were meat that was offered to idols. And people say, you can't eat that meat because it was offered to idols. And Paul said, well, there's just some that are more mature and they're able to do that, understanding that an idol is nothing. And the meat, you know, we can eat it. We can receive all things and enjoy all things as long as we do it with thanksgiving. He said, with regard to any religious festival, any of those things, Sabbath keeping is a matter that each and every Christian needs to be fully convinced of in his or her mind. You know, I preached this message a few weeks ago about, you know, what to do whenever you're faced with things that the Bible doesn't specifically talk about. And I believe the principle is the same. You do those things that you can do in faith, that you are convinced in your own mind, this is okay for me. I don't feel any guilt. I don't feel any condemnation from this. I am free in Christ to enjoy this. And so this is what I'm going to do. But if someone else, if they think different than you, don't condemn them. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. We don't have that kind of freedom. Someone said, well, I don't think it's right that the Sabbath has been changed. Who said the Sabbath has been changed? I didn't say the Sabbath has been changed. I'm simply saying that it is in Christ where we find our rest today. The Sabbath's still the seventh day. It's just we find our rest in Christ. Again, if you want to rest on Saturday, help yourself. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 say something very interesting. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. When you come to Christ, you find rest. There is a rest that you and I have now in Christ, but guess what? There is a rest that is coming for all of us that is unlike anything that we have ever known. It is going to be wonderful. But that rest that we have now, Lord, folks, it's just a picture of what we will enjoy when Jesus comes and he gets us and takes us. I mean, it just gets better. It just gets better. All right? We've entered into that rest. We find our rest in Christ. We don't find it in certain days, and we are not to judge people who disagree with us where that is concerned. The third thing that I'll point out is this. It was the first day of the week, Sunday. Is what we call it, but they refer to it as the first day of the week. It was the day that the early church began to meet, okay? As you go through the New Testament, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you see the emphasis on the first day of the week and not the Sabbath. We see that all throughout the New Testament. It was on the first day of the week that they gathered and they partook of the Lord's Supper, the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says that they brought their offerings to the church on the first day of the week. Whenever Christ appears in his resurrected form and the day is mentioned in the Gospels, it's always the first day of the week. That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When he appeared to them, it was on the first day of the week. And we see throughout the New Testament, since the early believers met on the first day of the week, that's whenever they were to bring their offerings. That's when they had the Lord's Supper. And that is when they gave themselves to meeting together. And this was the early church. This is the apostles. This is the one upon whom the church, their confession, their teaching is being founded. Remember, we talked about that Wednesday night crowd. They were the ones establishing the foundation of the church by their confession and by their teaching. This is what they did. And I believe that we are right to follow their example. Okay? These were Jews who would not have failed to keep the Sabbath had that been a focal point. Had that been necessity. But their habit was to meet and worship on the first day of the week. They do not tell us, they don't say anything about observing the Sabbath day. They met, they worshiped on the first day of the week. Every Sunday, folks, is a celebration. Listen, we celebrate anniversaries and birthdays once a year. But every week is a resurrection celebration. It is the day which our Lord arose from the grave. And we remember that every single week. I mean, every single week. And once every single week is Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. In fact, one of the pastors that I really love to listen to, I think he's just an awesome. I don't necessarily agree with him on everything he says about the Sabbath. We have some differences, but I really do appreciate his ministry. But you know, his way he says they don't celebrate, they don't have an Easter Sunday. They don't celebrate Easter Sunday like a lot of churches do. He said, because every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. He said, we're not just gonna relegate that to just one Sunday a year. And I think there's some wisdom in that. I really do. But anyway, fourth thing that I will share is that the New Testament nowhere tells us to worship or to not work on certain days. It does not tell us we are to worship on certain days or not to work on certain days. Nowhere are we instructed in the New Testament, okay? Interestingly enough, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, you remember Paul was preaching at night, and he got close to midnight, and you remember Eutychus fell out of the window and was taken up for dead, and Paul went down and raised him up. They were meeting at night on the first day of the week. Some commentators, now I know there's no way to exactly to prove this, but there are some commentators that say the reason they were meeting at night on this day was because they had been working that day. It's a possibility. This would have been the first day of the week. They were working. But whether that be true or not, listen to this. In the early chapters of the book of Acts, the first Christians were predominantly Jews. When Gentiles began to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Jewish Christians had a dilemma. What aspects of the Mosaic law and Jewish tradition should the Gentile Christians be instructed to obey? What particular laws should the Jews tell the Gentile Christians, you are to obey these laws? So the apostles met and they discussed the issue in the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Their decision was this. It is our judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who were turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and blood. That's Acts 15. That's what they told them. Sabbath day keeping was not one of the laws they said they should keep. They didn't say, now y'all must remember the Sabbath day and you must not work. You must keep the Sabbath day. Okay? In fact, they didn't mention any day as being the day that you are to worship. No day was called out. This is the day that you worship. All they said was these few things that they were to not do. Because they knew that, you know, if they ate food polluted by idols, if they were sexually immoral, if they ate the meat from strangled animals and from blood, you know what it would do? It would offend other Jews. It would be a stumbling block. Those were major, major things. But the Sabbath was not one of the issues. Okay? Interesting to me. Of all the things they could have said, that's not what they said. So it is inconceivable that the apostles would neglect to include Sabbath keeping if it was still God's command for Christians to observe the Sabbath day. And remember this, under the Sabbath law, the point was rest, not necessarily worship. It was about rest. And of course, in resting and obeying God, that was an act of worship. It's an aspect of worship. But that was not the point. It was not about, well, let's all go down to the temple and have a church service. It was about resting. And so today, you and I don't have to worry about being stoned if we pick up sticks on the Sabbath. And I'm glad that I can start a fire on the Sabbath if I'm cold. Exodus 35, verse 3, for those of you that are writing it down. Because I'm under grace, I'm not under law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. All right? So, we're not under those prohibitions on the first day of the week that they were under on the Sabbath. Okay? Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Do not hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's okay to miss church. I'm not saying it's okay for you just to lay out and not ever come. The Bible... The Bible tells us that we are to gather together. No, I'm not going there. But the Bible does command us to meet, okay? Or I'll go ahead and say it. Andy Stanley. There's a video out there of him today. And he's sitting there, he's looking at the camera, and he says, people tell us that the Bible commands us to meet. And then he just kind of smugly looks off the side and he says, come here. No, it does not. Yes, it does. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the matter of some. But even more as you see the day approaching. Okay? No. It is not okay to miss church. You have to work. Some people do. You work. You're not bound by the law to not do that. You want to go somewhere? Go somewhere. You can enjoy the day. We're free in Christ to do that, but we're not free to miss church. We're not free to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In fact, that's one of the things that makes it interesting to me. Why it seems like churches are meeting less and less and less and less when the Bible says the closer you get to the coming of the Lord, you ought to be meeting more and more and more and more and more. And we're going backwards. Okay, I'll stop right there because I'll say something that probably will be offensive to some people. Also, if we're not church attenders, how are we going to use our spiritual gifts that were given to us for the express purpose of building up the body? You got a spiritual gift and you don't want to come to church, you don't want to be involved, you can't use your spiritual gifts because they are for the building up of the body, all right? So understand, no, the Bible does not tell us that we cannot work, that we cannot do different things that we enjoy doing on Sunday, but we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, okay? Last point. Bible makes clear Jesus is the substance of the shadow, all right? Jesus, as we read here just a few minutes ago, what Paul wrote to the Colossians, that all those things were shadows. Reality is found in Christ. Why do the Jews hate Jesus? Several reasons. One of the reasons they hated Jesus and they wanted to kill him is because of this very thing, the Sabbath. He did not keep the Sabbath according to their way of thinking. John chapter 5, verse 18 says, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And he was equal with God. He was equal with God. And you know what that meant? That meant that Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. And he even said that he was Lord of the Sabbath. That meant that Jesus was sovereign over that day, just as he is sovereign over every other day. Jesus was proclaiming that he is the one who exercises authority, even over the rules and regulations that govern the Sabbath day. The Pharisees, they wanted to lord their rules and regulations. They wanted it to be the deciding factor over the Sabbath. But they only made matters worse. I'm told that there are 39 Hebrew words in this command. The command to keep the Sabbath holy. The Pharisees had taken these 39 Hebrew words in this command and they had added 39 man-made categories of forbidden acts to this commandment. No wonder Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He knew that they were burdened. He knew that they were overworked, trying to, I mean, what should have been a delight? The Sabbath should have been a delight, should have been a day of rest, but it turned into anything but delight because of all the rules that man had made. And so when Jesus came, Jesus did not play by their man-made rules, and this made them furious, furious enough to kill him. To blur the meaning of the Sabbath was to blur the true picture of Sabbath rest, which is found in Jesus. You know, I think I mentioned this probably back at Easter, the story of the man that was stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day when God said, you're not to do that. And people say, man, that was so brutal. I mean, the man just going out to clean up, he just wanted to clean up his yard, you know, that's what we would say today. Just gathering some sticks for fire. I mean, what's the big deal about that? The big deal was he was working on the Sabbath. He was disobeying God's command. And understand, folks, the Sabbath is a picture of the rest that we find in Jesus. And guess what? In the Sabbath rest we find in Jesus, there is no work. There is no work. He's saying, yeah, God's given us rest, but it's okay to work. It's okay to work. Even though you can find rest, it's okay to work. And today, people are working to try to find rest. And that's an affront to Jesus. And guess what? If you work and you don't rest, if you don't come to Jesus, as the Bible says you are to do, you too will die. You will die in your sin because you have worked instead of resting in Jesus. It was to blur the picture, the beautiful picture of Sabbath rest that we find in Jesus Christ. But then when Jesus comes and he died and he was resurrected, the Sabbath day was no longer needed because the shadow had become substance. And oh, by the way, Jesus didn't just say he was Lord of the Sabbath, but when Jesus, right before he died, you remember he went to the temple and he cast out all the money changers, and Jesus basically condemned the temple. People said, man, he came in there and he condemned the temple, and that's true. But Jesus did more than just condemn the temple. What Jesus was doing is he was telling the temple, he was telling the sacrifices, he was telling everything affiliated with the temple or the tabernacle, he was telling everything, I'm not just condemning you, I'm shutting you down. I'm shutting down the priesthood. I'm shutting down the sacrificial system. In fact, I'm going to destroy this temple. You know why? Because it's not needed anymore. You know why? Because it was just shadow. The substance had come, although they didn't accept the substance. They didn't accept Jesus. They turned him away. They rejected him. They crucified him. But those things weren't needed anymore because reality had come. I mean, Jesus, he changed it all. And he could. Why? Because he was Lord of the Sabbath. He was the one all this stuff was pointing to. That's why we run to Jesus. That's why we go to him. And those things are no longer needed. When the writer of Hebrews wrote the words that I read just a few minutes ago in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, what was he doing? He was telling, because he said there, let me remind you, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. What the writer of Hebrews was telling his readers was not to go back to the law, not to go back to the sacrificial system, but to rest in Jesus. Because what they were wanting to do because of persecution, because of the difficulty, they were kind of wanting to revert back to the Mosaic law. And Jesus said, hey, listen, you got a better priesthood, you got a better priest, you got a better covenant, you got better promises. So don't go back to the old way of doing things. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And then he does something wonderful. He gives them an entire chapter of people who by faith persevered. By faith. They didn't draw back and go back. They kept going forward. And he says, you need to do the same thing. Because Jesus is the reality. And there's no need to labor to be right with God. All we need to do is rest in Jesus. And so we can do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here's a good word for you as I close out. What day should you and I treat as holy and be reverent and be thankful and worship and praise God? Listen, every day that ends in Y. Every day that ends in Y, you need to treat it as holy because of who you are in Jesus Christ. Not just one day, not just one, but every single day. Day. That means when you get up and you go to work in the morning, you don't just put off your Sunday Not just Sunday attire, but your Sunday attitude. But when you go to work in the morning, you be the same person you were today. And Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, and Friday. Stop compartmentalizing your life. You are a Christian at all times. I'm a Christian at all times. No matter where I go, when I go to Walmart, I have to remember, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus, and I'm trying to be a witness. Y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about, don't you? At all times. In fact, I'll be honest, there's sometimes even as a pastor. Remember, when I'm dealing with certain people, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, I love the Lord. God, give me strength. Everything that I need, I find in Jesus Christ. Not one thing that I need do I lack in Jesus Christ. Some things that I want, well, that's a different story. But I'm glad today to know that Jesus came along and did what I could not do. He fulfilled the law, every jot, every tittle, every aspect of the law. And he is my Sabbath rest. And I can worship and praise him no matter where I am, any time of the day. To God be the glory.